publicity.
It just doesn't happen often of 200 theaters and repeat demands for returns in the heartland, a lot in the heartland of those requests.
Iowa, Florida, and Texas consistently have the most book bans. The documentary will be shown tonight on PBS. Support for this reporting was provided by the philanthropic foundation Carnegie Corporation of New York. This is Roz Brown, New Mexico News Connection.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News from Monday, February 9th, 2026. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Josh Salem, Anna Wilcox, and Dave Johnson. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Nick Caperso. Special thanks to Isabel Charlet, Zamon Perez, Antonia Gonzalez, Tramel Gomez, Suzanne Potter, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of the evening news is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Terrence Burns.
And I'm Dave Johnson. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth. We're digging into autonomous vehicles.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. Autonomous vehicles, or AVs, could be coming to Oregon. State lawmakers heard a bill today that would allow AVs to operate in the state. That would include companies that offer robo-taxis like Waymo and Tesla. The bill would preempt or ban cities from making their own regulations on these companies. That's got some localities, including Portland, concerned. The city submitted testimony against the bill, HB 4085. At today's Portland City Council Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, leaders at the Bureau of Transportation shared their research into AVs and a new set of suggested rules for these robo-taxi companies. Here's an excerpt of their presentation.
For the record, my name is Jacob Sherman, and I lead the city's work on emerging technology at the Bureau of Transportation. It's important to understand that the city of Portland has been regulating the private for hire industry since the late 19th century, when we started making sure horse-drawn carriages were safe. With the advent of the Model T, the automobile was used to disrupt mass transit for the first time. So Portland and many other cities started regulating jitneys in the 1910s in order to minimize the impacts on transit. As technologies have evolved, so did our private for hire regulations. And it's worth noting that the Oregon State Legislature has long since recognized the authority of cities and counties to regulate private for hire transportation services. Today, the city of Portland regulates about 8 different modes or services, including the most recent innovations, transportation network companies like Uber and Lyft, which first came to Portland in 2016. To be clear, we see on-demand autonomous vehicle networks as the next evolution of the private for hire industry. They are not something new. They are not categorically different than TNCs and taxis. They're simply the next innovation. We've watched as AVs have come to the streets of other U.S. cities, and over the past several months have been working hard to develop what we believe might be a thoughtful approach to AVs. We want to allow innovation, but the possible impacts of AVs are not fully understood, so we need to create a careful approach to AVs in a unique way, in a Portland way. PBOT staff have been tracking the topic of automated vehicles for many years. As Council Vice President Clark said, in 2017, City Council passed the Smart Autonomous Vehicle Initiative. It directed PBOT to develop a permit to test AVs, to engage the AV industry, and it charged PBOT with continuing to regulate and permit automated vehicles moving forward. It's following this city council policy direction that we then developed and adopted administrative rules to create a testing permit. While we've talked to AV companies over the years, no permits have been issued. There hasn't been any actionable interest in our permit until recently, and that interest prompted us to take initiative and start the administrative process to update our rules, which we'll talk about in more detail later. Next slide. In thinking about the promise and thinking about automated vehicles, we see potential benefits that AVs might bring to our streets. AVs have the potential to eliminate human errors, since AVs will never drive under the influence or tired. Robotaxis won't be distracted by their phones or their kids or their dogs in the back seat. Additionally, AVs have been suggested to have better sensing and faster reaction times than humans, allowing them to slow down more quickly when obstacles are detected in the roadway. Personally, when I rode in my first robo-taxi one night in LA, I was impressed by how the advanced sensor systems could see pedestrians, cyclists, and cars two or more blocks away at night that I could not see with my own eyes. Like taxis or Ubers and Lyft, AVs can help fill current transportation gaps by providing another mobility option for Portlanders, including those unable to drive due to disability, to age, or to medical conditions. Some also suggest that AVs could remove the driving task and free up more time to relax or socialize or be more productive by working more. Next slide. However, the promise of AVs isn't automatically given. Left to their own devices, companies might seek out strategies to maximize their own incentives rather than also deliver on public benefits. Without local regulations to help us move towards the promises, AVs could exacerbate existing issues within the transportation system or create new problems. There are several issues that cities need to manage in order to minimize the impact on our streets and communities. These include making sure for-hire AVs are following the rules of the road and not harming our core responsibility to ensure public safety. As part of this, it's crucial we're able to effectively communicate with companies and send them data on where work zones or major events are happening, like Timbers matches, Blazers games, or the Rose Festival parade. For-hire AVs will likely displace human drivers currently working for taxis in Uber and Lyft. From issuing permits to resolving conflicts with the TNCs, PBOT staff work directly with drivers on a weekly basis. Without public policy strategies to try and mitigate these impacts, drivers in the Portland metro area could lose their job. Also, if not managed properly, AVs could add to congestion, and the advanced sensor and video systems also beg important questions about consumer privacy and cybersecurity. Finally, there's also additional questions around land use, including where the AVs will charge. Will traveling to and from charging depots cause local congestion? In other cities, there's been land use conflicts between neighbors and charging stations, something that we want to avoid for Portland. These are some of the questions on land use that we need to discuss with our partners at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Next slide. Some policy and public health experts feel hopeful about AVs. Waymo recently hit 127 million driverless miles and 10 million total driverless miles with relatively good safety outcomes so far. But as a professor of engineering at the University of Michigan recently said, quote, "It looks like the numbers are very good and promising, but I haven't seen any unbiased, transparent analysis on autonomous vehicle safety. We don't have the raw data," end quote. Next slide. These headlines from the last 6 months show a variety of real-world impacts other cities have been experiencing that give some reason to be concerned. These include safety issues around school buses, to less than desirable interactions with first responders, to the death of a beloved neighborhood cat, concerns from rideshare drivers, and an incident just a week and a half ago where a child was hit crossing the street to go to school by an AV, which may have been slightly speeding. Next slide. Is it too soon for these companies to be claiming broad safety claims? I want to take a moment to go slow on this slide and highlight a few key concepts for counselors and members of the public. First, as a regulator of the private for hire industry, it's important to understand that the city focuses our rules on services or like taxis, not on individual companies like Broadway Cab or Radio Cab. But this is uniquely challenging for AVs because each company has a different technology, different sensors, different hardware, different automated driving systems. So each company's claims need to be analyzed separately. We need to look at Waymo, then we need to look at Tesla, and so on. Waymo has the most experienced automated driver, logging 127 million driverless miles. However, Waymo's director of safety and research and best practices recently told Bloomberg News that, quote, there is not sufficient mileage to make statistical conclusions about fatal crashes. In that piece, they acknowledge the average human driver travels about 123 million miles for every fatality, and that Waymo has been involved in at least two fatal crashes, despite not being directly responsible for them. It's important to note that the statistics for human drivers being involved in one fatality for every 123 million miles is literally based on millions or trillions of miles of travel data. So while Waymo just got to their first 123 million miles without being responsible for a deadly crash, they'll need to provide millions or billions of more miles before we can have an actual apples-to-apples comparison. It's also worth noting that Waymo's four higher AVs have primarily driven on urban streets with a speed limit of 35 miles per hour or less. So it's not quite fair to compare that to human drivers who operate on all sorts of different road conditions. Looking at another AV, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recently investigated Tesla's robo-taxi data. NHTSA showed that Tesla's four higher AVs have a crash rate of 1 per 55,000 miles, which is significantly higher than the average human driver rate of one police-reported crash per 500,000 miles. While AVs might one day prove to be safer than average human driver, it doesn't necessarily translate to safety improvements on our streets today. The biggest safety benefits would happen if the worst human drivers were the ones to take up AVs, but those human drivers might not be the ones taking Ubers or taxis or Lyfts. Human drivers can bend the rules, but AVs might as well without appropriate regulatory oversight. For example, last fall, Tesla's full self-driving software allowed an update that was called Mad Max Mode, which ignored speed limits and drove dangerously. Teslas using autopilot or full self-driving have been responsible for fatalities, and this begs the question of whether we want robots to be allowed to break our society's rules of the road. Lastly, while AVs can react faster than human, today they're also making mistakes that even a 16-year-old with a learner's permit probably wouldn't make. Robotaxis have taken a passenger into an active police standoff, as seen in the bottom right photo, and they recently drove with a passenger onto light rail tracks in Phoenix. Next slide. After years of testing in a few markets, companies like Waymo are now starting to scale. Waymo has successfully rolled out in five major US cities: San Francisco, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Austin, and Atlanta. They just announced, they've announced a goal to expand to 20 cities in 2026, and they literally just closed on a $16 billion funding round, so we can expect that number of cities to continue to grow. Waymo has not publicly announced a plan to come to Portland, but we did start having discussions with them last fall. As we'll discuss later, they are advancing legislation to enable AVs in Oregon that would put limitations on how cities can regulate them, which we're very concerned about. The expansion of AVs in fleets like San Francisco are starting to show the impact of on the taxi and ride-hail market. Just as TNCs disrupted the taxi industry, it took Waymo only 20 months to gain nearly one-third of the market share in San Francisco, already overtaking Lyft in total market share. We need to continue to watch how these trends shift and consider what this could mean to human drivers in Oregon. Next slide. All of the opportunities and challenges of AVs that I've presented on make one thing perfectly clear. Cities, not state DOTs, are on the front lines of responding to these impacts and these issues. Just as with taxi companies and Uber and Lyft, we need to be able to properly enforce our rules and regulations and hold these technology companies accountable, whether that be through financial penalties or even permit suspensions or revocations. And this is only done when cities can maintain the ability to provide oversight, to put guardrails in place through our permits and our regulatory authority. However, there's a very concerning trend of statewide preemption afoot. Based on our early research, 31 states have some sort of preemptory legislation around the commercial operation of testing or AVs. These state laws prevent cities from properly addressing concerns and ensuring that AVs are smoothly added to the transportation system. It's against this backdrop that we've been hard at work to develop our proposed updates to administrative rules that we think could provide some oversight on automated vehicles. Our intent is that these draft rules will offer a viable alternative to statewide preemption, that they balance enabling innovation with the level of accountability that we believe Portlanders will demand.
That was Jacob Sherman with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. The administrative rules they've proposed would require companies like Waymo to do a number of specific things. That includes proposing a map of where they would be able to operate, clear limitations on what types of conditions they can drive in, like rain, snow, wildfire smoke. Companies would have to publicly disclose their testing. They would have to comply with existing accessibility requirements that the city has for rideshare companies. They would have to do 2 annual public outreach events a year, provide a clear passenger safety plan, train first responders, ideally in person, on how to deal with autonomous vehicles in an emergency. Companies would need to pass annual safety inspections and would have to share anonymous trip-level data with the city and have a data privacy plan for users. If they don't, they could face financial penalties, and PBOT could suspend or revoke their permits to run robo-taxis in Portland. That's Portland's proposed administrative rules for companies like Waymo. But even as these rules are coming before council and the public, the state legislature had a hearing Monday, January 9th, on possibly disallowing cities from making these kinds of regulations. PBOT Chief of Staff Shoshana Cohen spoke on House Bill 4085.
This morning, the House Committee on Transportation held a hearing on House Bill 4085. This bill would enable personal AVs as well as AVs for passenger and some goods movement across the state, and it would preempt local cities from regulating these modes. We have been working closely with the Office of Government Relations, Director Chase, and his team on this topic and on this bill actually for a while now. And PBOT Director Williams submitted a letter in opposition to HB 4085 that details our concerns, not just with the preemption, which of course is sort of first and foremost, but that the bill does not adequately address essentially the topics that you see on the screen and the topics that we really just went through as we're thinking about regulation. We are concerned that if we are preempted, we will lose the ability for Portland to decide for ourselves an appropriate framework or, frankly, just an appropriate path forward on this topic. And we do understand, and I think was made clear in the discussion this morning, there may be other jurisdictions and other folks who have an interest in a statewide framework and have an interest sort of in a statewide floor. So we just watched Jacob testified also, and I wasn't keeping track exactly, but it seemed, you know, around 50-50 maybe, with folks showing up in support of the bill and people in opposition of the bill. There wasn't a decision to move it out of the committee or a vote this morning. They said they would be voting next time. We were in opposition. A couple of key folks, the League of Cities was in opposition. There was a lot of discussion about the promise of safety and I think the promise of mobility. Although then there were some different, there's a lot of discussion about the ability for these to help the disabled community, but at the same time, Waymo doesn't have wheelchair accessible vehicles. There's sort of, again, points about this, and then there were some people sort of making counterpoints to that. So that's essentially where we stand with the state bill. We will, again, continue working closely. We haven't had a chance to fully debrief, but we'll continue working closely with the Office of Government Relations and stay very engaged on that topic. And it's sort of the highest priority right now is making sure we don't get preempted.
Thank you so much, Shoshana and panelists. This was an excellent overview. I've got lots of questions, but let's first go to Councillor Koyama Lane, who has her hand up.
I really appreciate the briefing today. I'm getting constituents reaching out about this topic. And from what I'm hearing, PBOT staff are doing a really good job at highlighting concerns, questions, and the need for more information. I could see that in the presentation. And it seems like you guys are displaying a really thoughtful approach. And it's great that you're working with OGR. One of my first questions for the city staff is, how do autonomous vehicles align with or potentially conflict with our Vision Zero goals?
I think really at the crux of the issue is that the promise of helping to achieve Vision Zero is, you know, is really what people who are excited, that's one of the main things, is can we make our streets safer? But as some of the data that Jacob referenced earlier, it's just too soon to make that claim. And so we need that local control because it's just not clear that that's true yet.
Thank you. And it is great to hear that there is an awareness that it's preempting cities would be not great, and that we need meaningful local guardrails to make sure that we're protecting Portlanders. It was interesting to look back at City Council in 2017 talking about some of this, and I have some of the same priorities about personal safety, data sharing, use equity, accessibility. If you've followed recent meetings, you'll know we're talking a lot about privacy and surveillance. And from what I'm learning, autonomous vehicles rely a lot on 360-degree camera systems that are capturing faces and license plates and detailed information about people just moving around in public spaces. And having vehicles like that in our neighborhoods could dramatically expand surveillance, particularly of like children and people biking, walking, or other vulnerable community members. So other questions that I have that I'm asking that I think you guys are hoping to be asking too: what data is being collected? How long is it stored? Who has access to it? Local, state, federal agencies? Are there privacy preserving alternatives that we can, that can be considered? I've heard about radar-based systems rather than the constant video recording. And then also alternatives to app-based interfaces, so we're not widening that digital divide that is real. So I appreciate that you all are being very thoughtful. And if you want to respond to any of that, that's great. But I think these are also questions that you are bringing to the state level.
Thank you, Councillor. Great list. Great questions. Great observations. Councillor Murillo?
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I completely agree with all of the questions that Councillor Koyama laid out. I think the storage and who gets to access that information is really important, and maybe these companies are doing it differently company by company. I think that's also part of the issue, that it's going to be incredibly difficult for us to have to track and regulate every single different company, the type of software that they use, how it interacts based on how the algorithm tells one vehicle to, okay, if you're coming up against a crash, like you turn, whereas another vehicle might stop. You know, if they're basically algorithmically designed to react differently, the safety component will potentially conflict. I think for me, one of the top issues, apart from everything that Councillor Koyama-Lane laid out already, is also how this is going to impact workers. We know that a ton of people right now, especially in this economy, are using Lyft, mm-hmm. Uber, other rideshare, food delivery things, and taxi services to stay employed, or are doing that part-time to supplement their income. And to me, I see no purpose in how this would possibly help our constituents, because a lot of the employees who do that work are often disabled themselves, which is why they have to work in the gig economy and do different types of work. And a lot of those people are also immigrants, people who are doing this labor in order to take care of their families. So I have just immense amounts of concerns about the impacts on our economy and on people moving forward. And I am frankly disturbed and very frustrated that the state legislature would try to preempt our ability to regulate this, because this is going to impact cities the most. This is where these vehicles are more densely being driven and used. And I cannot see at this time being convinced in any way that I would want any autonomous vehicles to be allowed in the city. The net negatives that are being provided completely outweigh the net goods to me. And I appreciate you guys looking into all of this, and I really appreciate your work, particularly to sort of outline the different regulations or ways that we could, address how they actually operate with some guardrails if it comes to that. But I think my position as of right now is that we completely halt them altogether. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Murillo, and for being so candid. Appreciate that. Councilor Smith.
To support Vision Zero, the proposal requires a passenger safety plan. And what is PBOT's approval standard, and what are the clear no-go conditions where PBOT will deny a permit or pause operations?
It's a great question. We're still working through the details of what would be included in a passenger safety plan. We are happy to have conversations with your office if you have specific feedback on that. Again, this being a little bit of a stepwise process, we wanted to see where council was kind of broadly before we start investing significant staff time in some of these next steps.
I understand. So what is the required reporting timeline to PBOT, and what happens if a company fails to report or delays their reporting?
So through the proposed rules, if companies fail to meet the requirements, we can move through civil penalties. Those penalties could be anywhere ranging from $1,250 per incident per day, up to $5,000 per incident per day. And then it could escalate beyond that, out of financial penalties into suspension of permits, whether that's 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, or just complete revocation, terminating their permit and their ability to operate. These are similar approaches that we took when we managed the introduction of e-scooters to the city back in 2018, where we created a structure of rules that had both, I think, opportunity for company to show they could meet those rules, but also had penalties. And we did, in the e-scooter pilot, end up asking some companies to no longer continue to do business here because they weren't able to meet our standards.
Right, and I'm glad we have that history of being able to do that and not, thinking about the everyday resident who may have some issues with that. And I too have some of the same concerns about data sharing that my colleagues were talking about, Councilor Murillo and Councilor Kayoma Lane. I'm gonna send you all these questions. I'm not gonna go through all of them, but the concern that I have is the proposal requires trip level data sharing, compliance with the Oregon Consumer Privacy Act, and submissions of a privacy policy. What exact data fields are required, and who has access, and how long is it retained, and what audits or penalties ensure compliance? And I'm going to send you these questions, and we can talk about it. And the last one that I'm going to send you as well, what I am really concerned about is the presentation highlights labor impacts. Reducing the need for human drivers, what is the city's plan to address workforce displacement? And I think Councilor Murillo alluded to that as well earlier. I'm concerned about that. We're in a realignment process right now here at the city. We're also in a process of finding out exactly how much money we have in the city coffers. And I'm not ready to go forward with our realignment processes until I understand what our money across all bureaus look like, and if there are any sub-accounts in different bureaus that we don't know about. And so for me, this coming alongside our realignment process and actually trying to figure out about the AVs, I'm concerned that that's going to have a huge impact on our workforce. I'm the chair of the Labor and Workforce Committee, and I'm just worried about people losing their jobs after being at the city for so long. And, what can we do to make sure that we keep living wage jobs in areas where we need people to make those split second decisions and not necessarily on an AV. I still remember I think it was at Christmas time in San Francisco, those cars, those AVs going in circles and no one could stop them. That gives me a bad image in my head of what could happen here in Portland. Because of how our streets are one way, particularly downtown, one way and the other way, and how we could get, I mean, it could actually happen. They could go into circles around City Hall. So I want some more, you don't have to answer all these questions right now. I'm gonna send you all nine of them, and we can follow back up on that. But I just wanted to let you know what I'm thinking about, and that this is, I'm taking this very seriously.
Thank you. We look forward to getting those questions, and we're happy to provide detailed written response.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. I really appreciate that. I so appreciate my colleagues digging into this and taking this very, very seriously. We're really on the threshold of so much change, and sometimes it's overwhelming. And I want to thank you, Jacob, for giving us a little bit of historical context on technological changes, how this is not the first time that the city has had to deal with these kinds of changes over time. But right now, you know, this feels like the AI of transportation. You know, we're dealing with that. It's a brave new world out there, and I think it can be very, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, kind of disturbing, you know, that change that's coming. And I always, just my nature, I'm sort of resistant to change, and not really interested in this. We are the change they want to see. It's interesting. I was in Phoenix and San Francisco and saw these Waymos just flash by one after another, and I felt like I was in a science fiction movie. It was really too much. Well, thank you so much for today's presentation. It was very thorough, interesting, historical context. 2017, who knew? I wasn't paying any attention then. I'm a little rattled by the fast pace of technology, what's coming at us as reflected by Waymo and AI and so forth. But thank you for your good work. Really, really appreciate your presentation today.
That was Portland City Council Vice President Olivia Clark and the rest of the transport